Good morning, church. Sounds like the mic is working okay. My name is Don Ward. I want to first thank your pastor and your elders for the invitation to be here this morning. Thank you for your warm welcome. Really appreciate the worship team and the leadership of the worship today. My wife Karen is here with me today. I'm a member of the Presbytery of the Blue Ridge and not a retired pastor, as often people say. How's your retirement going? I'm a redeployed pastor. I work for a group called Equipping Leaders International, and my role is twofold. I am a coordinator for Malawi, Africa. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second, and I'm the director of faculty recruiting, so fortunately your pastor is gone this week, or else I might try to recruit him and all of your staff to work with us in some way, form, or fashion. My other role, obviously, is in Malawi, and why do we exist as an organization? We serve over 25 countries. And we exist because 95% of pastors in the world have no formal training. Now, that tells you a whole lot about where the church in the world is growing, if 95% of pastors have not been to Bible college or seminary. And we're here to help with that. And we have a model where we train trainers in a region. We train pastors who can go train other pastors. And in Malawi, we work in 7 different sites in the country. And we have 90 what we now call Timothys, so pastors who we're training. They go out in pairs and they train pastors out in the boondocks or out in the parts of a city where these pastors have little education. And in July, I returned to Malawi for the first time in 2 years after experiencing cancer treatment last year and ongoing treatment. I'm returning for the first time in 2 years, so I'm very thankful to God, but need your prayers. And as always, need financial support for my Timothys who are going to train others. And we'll be at the table after the church if you are a prayer warrior and would like to join us or find out more. We'd love to talk to you. But now our main business today. I would invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Pray with me. God, our Father in heaven, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit so that the words of Jesus would rule over us and we might see the kingdom of God the way it truly exists. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Karen, would you bring my water bottle up? I'm sorry to introduce Karen to the whole congregation, but I did forget that. Thank you. It was December 1944. 22-year-old Captain Charles McDonald was preparing for his first offensive operation as company commander of Item Company, 23rd Infantry Division of the U.S. Army. As you might imagine, he was full of fears. His biggest fear was letting down his own men, as he was inexperienced in combat. But before he could jump off on his own attack, his company faced a fierce attack. And he was told by the higher-ups to dig in and defend at all costs. I wonder what that feels like for the people in the back to say, defend at all costs. So fierce was the fighting that his artillery support was soon limited to only 3 rounds per fire mission. For the first time in his command, he saw fatalities in his unit. He realized soon that his company was facing 10 tanks supported by only two American tanks. Soon, those two tanks retreated, and he and his men were facing the tanks and an enormous attack with limited support. And though he did his best, his unit broke into pieces and retreated. McDonald found himself surrounded and cut off and trying to find his regimental headquarters and wondering, will I live? But he was just as afraid that he would live and would face court-martial or be forced to resign his commission. He didn't know what he was facing. He didn't know that he was facing the opening salvos of the Battle of the Bulge, the largest and bloodiest U.S. Army battle in World War II. Why do I tell you this story? Think of how McDonald felt at 22 years old, surrounded, cut off, and overrun. Do you ever feel that way as a follower of Jesus in this current day, this current time? Even our own ranks have been divided in the last years. Remember COVID, we're trying to forget, but somehow it keeps reminding us. Remember, you see how politics has divided us, and now we have another national election in which God's people are often deeply divided. We found that what used to be discussions has turned into fights and often has meant the end of communication with loved ones. Modern sexual ethics has left many churches in headlong retreat from biblical norms, while others wonder, what just happened? Sometimes we feel surrounded and cut off. We feel like we're in retreat and we're fighting to the last believer. Well, today in the Word of God, we get some really good news. Some really good news. There's some surprises along the way. Things are not as dark as they feel. Jesus tells us as much in two parables. And you'll see in your outline, we'll learn from the parables. The kingdom of God grows mysteriously and it grows dramatically. So in the first parable, we see that the kingdom of God grows mysteriously. Jesus says the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, the ear, and the full grain. Now, the background of this parable is a previous parable that is familiar to most Bible readers, and that's the parable of the sower, where the sower is spreading the seed on the ground, and it seems all the seeds come up, but the results are quite varied. And many of them are quite discouraging as the seed sprouts, but then for one reason or another, it withers. And Jesus is describing what ministry in the gospel of the kingdom is like. There are people that do bear good fruit, but then there are often disappointments. But into that, we're given two words of encouragement, that the kingdom of God, especially as the gospel of Jesus Christ, is sown and spreads, some mysterious and wonderful things happen. Yes, there's some hard realities, but it says it's like the farmer who plants the seed and he notices almost by itself the seed comes up mysteriously. Now, the farmer has a role. If he hadn't sown the seed, he wouldn't have seen the mysterious and wonderful process. But there's that magical moment in planting something when it comes up. You have no control over the exact timing of it. There's probably a few gardeners here. I'm not very good at that, but a few years ago, we have a farming branch with ELI. It's now its own group called Equipping Farmers International. And one of the principal guys there is a good friend of mine. And I said, Mike, what do I do with the big hill on my backyard? I hate cutting it. That gives me a heart attack every time. What do I do? He said, you ought to plant native wildflowers. So he told me what to do, and we got it all ready, and we did this thing. And it's just like the parable said. You know, it starts to come up, but when you do the wildflowers, you do them in the fall, so you don't really see the harvest just yet. So winter comes, there's a bunch of these plants on the ground, but then spring comes, and something magical happens, something beautiful and wondrous, as if by itself, these beautiful flowers begin to cover my noxious hill. What a delight. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same way. It bears fruit mysteriously and wondrously. Now, I tell you, getting to work in Southern Africa is such a privilege because it feels like you're cutting in line. The kingdom of God is growing rapidly. It's spreading like wildfire everywhere in that region. But it was not always so. There was a time of sowing, and the story of the nation of Malawi is one of the good missionary stories. You might have heard of the name of David Livingstone, the Scottish missionary, who was the father of all Christianity in that part of Africa. He was a great man of God who did so many things well. But I tell you, he was buried with the people that he loved and served. He died of the same diseases that they died of. And it took time for the gospel to take root. And I tell you, there are times that we find ourselves discouraged and defeated. And I think of a particular Sunday morning when I was pastoring Grace Community Church in the Charlottesville area, and there was some fuss that was going on. Thankfully, I don't remember the fuss. But I remember a Sunday morning just like this. I was sitting down, the worship team was warming up and practicing, and I was listening, and there were some good songs coming. But I had this quiet prayer going. I'm like, Jesus, with all this fuss that's going on, how am I going to worship you today? Like, my heart is not prepared to give thanks. And as I was waiting for the beginning of the service, I got a tap on my shoulder. And it was a woman I didn't recognize, a woman who may be sitting in this room this morning. She was from Lynchburg. She said, "You're Don Ward." And I said, "Yes, I am." And she introduced herself, and she said these words that are hard to get out of my head. She said, "You saved T.C. Epperson, and she saved me." And this young woman had driven to say hello to the one she perceived to be her spiritual grandfather. Well, I'll tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather, because I thought T.C. Epperson was saved when I met her. I knew who T.C. Epperson was. I had no idea that I had had any impact on her life at all, nor that through that impact, she had reached out to another. Well, let me tell you, friend, I had no trouble worshiping God that morning. My heart was overflowing with joy the whole morning. I can't remember what the problems were, but I remember the joy of seeing what happens when the gospel seed is planted and it grows and it spreads almost magically, almost by itself. You know, you might be frustrated with yourself today, with your own battles. There were some great confessions of sin in the service today, and a great little spiritual song you all were singing about the struggle we often feel. Don't lose heart. The gospel bears fruit even in the life of a believer. Bad news often gets us sulking and discouraged and going, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" You think Paul ever felt a little discouraged trying to spread the gospel in a pagan empire, the mightiest empire the world had ever known? And he says to the church at Rome, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I'm not discouraged. They throw me in jail. Good, I'll preach to the people there. They threaten to kill me. Good. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. My friends, you live in a college town, and not just one college. I wonder how many languages are spoken at the colleges in this area. You know, studies have shown the most receptive people to the gospel of Jesus historically have been aliens and strangers, people who are from another place, speak another language. They have no friends, no one to help them. Sometimes they don't know how to buy tires for their car. What if hospitality and friendship opened up that door that you thought was closed to you of simply saying, "Christ has made a difference in my life. Would you like to learn more about him, my friend?" Now, I'm not suggesting that you do manipulation evangelism where you make people dependent on you and you twist. No, just be a good friend, whether they receive it or not. What harvest fields have moved into our neighborhood? Is it the nations around us? The universities full of people from all over the world? But you know, there's another mission field that I'm sure there are people in this church that are praying for, and that's our own sons and daughters who grew up in the church, went off to the university, and left it all behind. How discouraging that is. How heartbreaking that is. One of the privileges of being a missionary has to raise their own support. You're talking to everybody you've ever known. Going all the way back to high school, which was a few years ago, I connected with an elder from the first church that I pastored, and he caught me up on his two boys who had done that leave the faith routine. And he told me the story of both of them and how they'd come back to the Lord, and one of them had become an elder in his church. And the story particularly that was interesting to me was the older boy. It married a gal that didn't go to church. They weren't going to church. But in their community, one of the churches, a really good church there that I knew about, had a vacation Bible school. And the little children were invited, and the parents decided to send their kids to vacation Bible school. It seems like an old tool. It's outdated. Doesn't really work, right? Except the little girl came back excited about Jesus. She said, "Daddy, you should have us kids in church this Sunday, and you and Mom should come too." And that was the beginning of awakening and conversion and the lordship of Christ in that family. What do we do with those children where the gospel seed has been planted, but now they seem resistant to the faith? I suggest that we act out what we believe, and that is that God is good, gracious, and in control. I can't convert anybody. I cannot change the heart of one single human being, including my own offspring. But God can melt their hearts. So pray as if it depended on your prayers, but trust as if it only depends on God. Learn to ask better questions and listen more faithfully, looking for the opportunity and expecting God to act, maybe through their own children, who knows? Well, if the kingdom of God grows mysteriously, notice it also grows dramatically. Our Lord Jesus says, it's like the grain of mustard seed. I could have brought one to show you, but you couldn't see it past row one. It's just a little seed. Children ask one of your parents to show you a mustard seed. There's probably one in the cabinet somewhere. This little mustard seed, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it's larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. If the gospel grows mysteriously, it can also grow dramatically. We could also title this section, "Despise Not Small Beginnings." Sometimes the kingdom of God is growing in the little places where no one notices. Like what, the largest continent ever, right? Africa. Try flying across it sometime. Like, when does this end? I've been here forever. When are we ever going to land? How could we possibly fly this far? Don't despise small beginnings. Started a church in 1988 in Dayton, Ohio with one couple besides us. That was the man with the two sons and his wife and two little boys. Started small. It's been through a whole lot since I left. It's grown and it's planted its own church now, in spite of my leadership in the beginning sometimes, I think. God can do great things. I mentioned sub-Saharan Africa, on fire for Christ. After many martyrs, after many lives were laid down, after lots of seeds were planted and the Holy Spirit began to do something amazing. The history of Christianity in the 20th century will no doubt highlight the growth of the church in China and Korea. Korea, which had a small church before the Korean conflict and now has over 20% of the country. The largest churches in the world are found in South Korea. China, where all Christian missionaries were expelled and most of the pastors were imprisoned, many were executed. Some think it's the largest Christian church in the world with its scattered house churches all over the country. I'm thankful to be working in a place where the primary need is not for residential missionaries to come, learn languages, plant churches. In fact, that's a very inefficient way of spreading the gospel at a place where there's so many pastors already, so many missionaries of that culture, tribe, and language. So I'm thankful to be able to help pastors who are hungry to learn God's word, learn good theology, learn good practices of ministry. And you might have some gifts. You might have taught Bible. Some of you might be college professors and teach theology or Bible somewhere. And you could be of use in a place like Africa with a ministry like ELI. My friends, do not lose heart. Don't let the noise you hear around you, don't let the news you're getting from social media confuse you about what's really going on. What's really going on today is about 4,000 years ago, God made a promise to a nomadic tribesman named Abram that he would bless every tribe, tongue, nation, and language on earth through his offspring. Trace that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians where suddenly all the Gentiles are being brought in. Go to the end of the book where there's worship to the one who purchased for himself people from every tribe and tongue and nation and language. The promise of God must be fulfilled, and it shall be fulfilled, and he will not be defeated, and this kingdom will spread no matter what you see right now. But my friend, don't keep the seed in the barn. I sense that this church has a heart for Christ and for your community, and thanks be to God. May it always be that way. Because not everyone in this community has heard the gospel clearly enough and often enough. Did you get converted the first time you heard it? I didn't. There's always an open door, but the seed must be spread. And yes, even you introverts, you say, well, I can't possibly be used to share the gospel. Well, if you're an introvert and you'd rather have a conversation over a beverage with one person, that'll work. Look around. There's opportunities. God can use you. I do want to warn you that if you go back and read this passage, you may forget everything I've said. But if you go back and read this passage and pray about it and meditate on it and study about it, I want to warn you of the dangers. You said, dangers? How could the parables of Jesus be dangerous? Well, the danger is that your eyes might be open and you might see the kingdom of God the way it really is. And you might see that Jesus is the pearl of great price and Jesus is that treasure hidden in the field, and that loving him and serving him and knowing him and worshiping him and telling everyone about him is worth everything that you have and all that you can give. Your prayers will suddenly be filled up with more than prayers. It's good to pray for the sick. We're told to do that. But suddenly you'll find yourself praying for the church in Haiti where two missionaries were martyred in the past weeks. Lord, rule Haiti for yourself. Redeem those people made in your image. So many believers are there. Lord, would you rule that place? Oh yeah, I will warn you, if you study this parable and you think about the kingdom, your finances will be turned upside down. You might reverse the normal question about giving is, how much do I have to give? To how much can I give? I wonder if there's a creative way that we could underwrite something beautiful for the kingdom of God. I wonder if there's a way we could live really well, but just a little bit less, and be connected with the work of the kingdom. And lastly, as scared as you might be, as shy as you might be, as introverted as you might find yourself doing the work of evangelism and discipleship, leading people to Christ, helping them grow in the faith, bringing them into a community of believers. Oh, what a wonderful and rewarding next few years it would be if only one, if all the families in this church only could find one person. Well, I don't know how big the new building is, but it won't be big enough for all the new disciples. It'll be a problem, but what a great problem to have. Oh, that we could fill up churches with new believers and not transfer growth alone. Hey, there's a time to find a new church. I get that. Look out. How about this for a mustard seed idea? Two men in your church, selected by the leaders of your youth ministry, start meeting with two freshman boys, probably weekly, Bible study, prayer, youth-based discipleship, and they stay with those two boys until they're seniors in high school and they graduate and go on to do whatever they're going to do. I'm going to tell you, that little mustard seed could change not just two lives, but the families that will come out of those two men. And what if two women did the same thing? And what if it were more than just two? What if these young people who are being told all the time by their parents to follow Jesus, love Jesus, read the word, but somebody else in the church says, hey, have I ever told you what Christ has meant in my life? How he's helped me? How he's taught me to become a good husband, good wife, good leader in my home, in my work? It could start small, but it could lead to lifelong relationships with the young people of your church so that when they're 30 and 35 and 40, they're still calling those folks to say, can you pray? Can you help me think through something that's going on? Small beginning, big outcome. Do you believe God really does big things out of small beginnings? Wonder what the opportunities for Christ are in Lynchburg. Is it teaching English as a second language, becoming friends with your students? Is it jail and prison ministry? I found out the last few years of my pastoral ministry that that's an untapped mission field, one of the darkest places in all of our culture where we warehouse people and say, God, let me forget about them. We've sent them off out of sight, out of mind. Would you believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in our jails and prisons, and there are people not just receiving a jailhouse conversion, but people who become disciples? What a service to our society it is when someone becomes a disciple and comes out of that jail and prison and begins to lead a righteous and upright Christ-following life. I don't know where the doors are open, but I imagine that you do, and if you don't, that he, the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, will show you. Young Captain McDonald didn't know that the German army was advancing over hundreds of miles up front. He didn't know that he would be commended for holding out as long as he did, that he would receive an award for his valor. He didn't know that the German army's great success in creating a huge bulge in the lines would be the seeds of their own ultimate and final defeat. It's so easy to get discouraged. People walk away from the church. They walk away from the faith. They give in to a syncretistic gospel where modern thinking is the Lord, but a few verses go along with it. Don't lose heart. Don't be afraid. The gospel of Jesus spreads mysteriously, and it multiplies and is powerful beyond imagination. Let's get our hands callous. Let's get our knees calloused in prayer and our hands calloused with the work, and let's see what the Lord himself will do. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you for our Lord Jesus and his amazing wisdom, how he's taught us today. And I pray that his words would ring through our minds and hearts in the days and weeks ahead, and that it will bear amazing fruit for his glory. In Jesus' name.